Accession number 3866, Reel 7.
Mr. Peroni, Reel 7. What was the attitude of the camp commandant towards the 18B detainees?
I don't think I could make any valid comment on that because I can't recollect ever having seen the camp commandant, certainly at Peel. Because of the division of the houses and being self-contained units, there was no sort of central area where you would see the camp commandant. He was outside of the area of confinement, so one not only didn't see him, but you didn't know what his views were at all.
How did people's morale change with the passage of time?
Well, of course, any time there was someone leaving the community, there was a general hope that they would succeed in winning their freedom. And there was a diminishing number, of course. I remember there was one famous legal case where the detainees, as a group of detainees, had asked for writs of habeas corpus, and the judges had found in their favour, and they were released by a decision of the courts. But they were immediately reapprehended directly they came outside the court and were put back for another period, a fresh period of detention. And so people who we thought we were cheering them when we heard they'd won their case, and then were surprised to find them coming back in our midst again. But there certainly weren't many cases like that. One major case of about six people, I think, involved. I remember there was one young chap that we knew very well called Tom Barnevelt, and he was one of these six who had successfully won their case on appeal to the High Court. But then rearrested immediately, so the whole thing was nullified. So morale went up, I think, when there was... If you felt that the number of people being released was speeded up, then you felt it's possible that my turn will come. And, of course, in my individual, my personal case, it did come when, in September of 41, I was told I was going to be taken back to Brixton Prison for a second tribunal. And this took place, I suppose, perhaps in late September, I should think. And I felt that I was going to be released, and I felt that the second tribunal was purely a form which had to be gone through because it had been decided to release me.
Does this mean that they behaved more sympathetically towards you?
Oh, certainly. I felt that the whole attitude of the tribunal was we just want to dot the T's and dot the I's and cross the T's because we've decided to release you. I felt that the tribunal at the time was much more form. There was no... my attitude, I think, was appreciated. I think they also understood that I was no harm whatsoever and that I wouldn't cause any trouble because, you know, I'd never conceived of forming any trouble anyway. And I think they understood that. And so on the 21st of November, which was a Friday in 1941, I was in Brixton Prison and I heard my name called out and I didn't respond. I just waited for it to be called out again to make absolutely sure it was my name. And I went down and he says, "Get your things together, Peroni, you're going out." And of course, that was the end of 16 months detention. And
had your wife had notification that you were leaving?
Yes, yes. She knew that my detention was being revoked. And so I collected my 16 shillings together, which I had in my pocket when I went in, and got on a bus and went down to Cameron Town. And as the bus arrived at Cameron Town, I saw my wife walking up a side street. And so we were able to have lunch together immediately. But then, of course, I had no home. My furniture had been cleared out of our two rooms. And we had to start again. But I did have something which was quite valuable. I had a letter sent to Brixton Prison while I was there, waiting for my second tribunal, asking me to go along and see my former employer. And it was reasonably clear that the tone of the letter indicated that they would be glad to see me back. So the following Wednesday after release, I went along and saw the staff manager of the estate agents Knight & Co., and I was immediately appointed night porter at Winchester Court. So I was able to start earning money and gradually build up my life again.
Is this something that has gone down on record somewhere, so that whenever you need to fill in official forms or apply for a job or whatever, it turns up again?
No, I've never. What did happen was this. When I was at Winchester Court, I was there from 41 to early 44. That was November 41 to early April 1944. And I then got a job, which was quite a jump for me, to go from being a porter to office work. I got a job as a telephone receptionist with David Cope, the bookmakers, in the City of London. And in June 1944, the V1s started coming over, the flying bombs. And Winchester Court was hit. And I rang them up, and I just learnt over the telephone that it had been hit. So I offered to go over there and relieve the head porter, because he'd been working so long, he needed the sleep. And they were very grateful for that. And he told me that after I'd been there a year, the police had made an approach to him, telling him that I should be watched carefully because I was in charge of a telephone switchboard and I had been an 18B detainee. That information wasn't revealed to him by the staff manager who took me on. And that was the only subsequent repercussion of the detention that ever took place, because I've never had to fill a form in asking me that sort of question, that needed replying. In 1953, I joined the Home Guard, and it was then subsequently revealed I'd been an 18B detainee, but nobody seemed to mind. And in fact, I've got a record here which shows you the response I got from servicemen when I went on the Forces show and took part in a competition with Michael Miles. And it's rather odd to hear all these young men and women in the Forces of the post-war period cheering on an 18B detainee of the actual war period.
How did you feel about Moseley leaving Britain?
Well, of course, Moseley didn't leave Britain until, let me see now, when was it? I think it must have been around about 1950, because after the war, of course, he set up First of all, the book clubs, and then the union movement. And true to my word, I became the constituency organizer for Hampstead, supporting Moseley's ideas and being prepared to discuss my 18B history with the public on a soapbox at Whitestone Pond. And so my association with the British Union of Fascists, the union movement, my detention during the war, is all public knowledge, all commented on in the papers, and has relatively little impact on my relationship with the people I've lived in this community for so long. None at all. But with regard to Moseley leaving Britain, I was very close to Moseley in the post-war period. And undoubtedly, his major, although he made the case that he was going to live in Europe because he was a good European, I couldn't agree with that. Moseley's real reason for leaving the United Kingdom was purely because he was better off from the tax point of view by living abroad than he would have been living at home in the United Kingdom. And I can only say what I personally believe. Moseley has publicly said that he didn't leave Britain for beer and baccy, as he put it. I can't agree. I think he did.
One thing about the camps that we left out, I think you told me previously there was an escape attempt at Huyton.
Yes, yes. Now, there was, of course, around the Huyton housing estate, there was the barbed wire perimeter. And one of the detainees was a man called Hempel. German extraction, I believe, but obviously he had a British passport. And he put some things together either kit bag or something to hold his possessions, and he decided to try and make an attempt to get out over the wire, but it was absolutely farcical. He was a short man, he was rather thick set, rather sort of dumpy legs, and I suppose that part of his trouble was climbing over a barbed wire fence must have been unusually difficult for him. But to think that he was on top of the fence with a case either side of the barbed wire, really caught on top, and then suddenly the lights come on, and the guards were shouting at him, "What are you doing there?" And he shouted out, "Taxi, taxi!" I thought it was a wonderful inspiration of humour, and realising in a flash there was nothing he could do about it. He was absolutely caught up on top of the barbed wire. And this was his result. And it was a source of great amusement for everybody in the camp to tell this story around to the people who didn't know about it. Yeah, there was he, on top of the bar by a couple of cases, shouting out, "Taxi, taxi." Yeah.
Is there anything else that you wanted to add about the...